It's 5 o'clock in Salford. How you doing? It's a Tuesday, of course, the 30th of March 2021. It's me, the BBG, Richie Allen, with you for the next wee while, because I've no idea. Tweet me, drop me a line on Twitter as usual. Let's get on with Tuesday's Richie Allen radio show.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, it's myself, and it's you and me for the next while, just you and me today. On Tuesday's programme, it's a balmy 22 degrees in Salford this afternoon. Not a cloud in the sky. The sun is splitting the rocks. I can't think of any more cliches on that, so I'll just leave it there. But I'll tell you what did happen. It was very funny. I thought it was funny anyway. Around about 20 to 5, internet went down here. It really did. There seemed to be some sort of a power surge. Do those things really happen in real life? What happened was in the studio, the lights went really bright, then they dimmed and everything was gone. The internet was down. So downstairs I went because the studio was in a purpose-built enclosure upstairs to see what was going on, and the internet was down. And I said to the oft-mentioned future missus, they'll never believe it. They'll never buy it. With the weather being the way it is, with people taking to the beaches and the parks to get a bit of the sunshine, I said they'll never buy it. So the internet better come back. And it did. Thanks be to, well, to God and sunny Jesus, the internet came back. And here I am with you today, Tuesday. How are you doing? Are you out and about? Have you taken me with you? Notice there was a bit of that yesterday afternoon. People listening outdoors and sending back nice messages to me. So I'm outdoors, Richie. I've got you on the tablet, kind of a thing. So you might be outdoors listening in. There might be a notable drop in listenership figures today because of the heat. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm having a funny battle with the company that streams the Richie Allen Show. It's a massive company that's based in California. And it doesn't care too much about me or anybody else, because it streams thousands of radio stations. Very, very big and not so big. And what's been happening in the last few months is, let me explain how this works. I'm not the best now to explain it. If Hayden Hewitt was here, he'd give you more of an insight into how it works. And you're probably laughing because you probably know how it works. You see, I don't. I have engineers and friends who link things up and get things working on my behalf. But it works like this. I pay a not small amount of money every month to stream. And for that, I get, when I'm on air, I get unlimited listener capacity. So I can have as many people listening as is possible. Okay. However, I'm allocated a certain amount of bandwidth per month. Bandwidth, right? I get allocated a certain amount each month. It's terabytes. It's 6 or 7 terabytes or more a month. The problem has been in the last few months is that I'm getting to 20 days or 18 days into the month and I've used up the bandwidth. That's a good thing. It's good to have a lot of people listening. I'm not bragging about that. The show's been around a long time. If it didn't have a big audience now, well, there'd be no point in doing it. But since this scamdemic nonsense, you see, back in February last year, the Richie Allen radio show, this show, my show, our show, your show, my show, was undoubtedly, undeniably, and provably the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Lot of listeners. But what has happened in the COVID time is people have gone looking for an alternative to the lies on the BBC, Sky News and Channel 4 and Fox News and CNN. And if you go looking, I'm one of the first people you'll find. So we've put on an extraordinary number of listeners in the last 9, 10, 11 months. And it's playing havoc with the bandwidth. Now, how this works is, right, it's no big deal, this. They threatened to cut me off because I've gone over the bandwidth. But because they're a massive corporation, I don't get to speak with anybody. So I say to them, because I'm a pretty sensible Irishman, as far as it goes, I say, okay, I've used up my bandwidth and it's the 19th of March. I hear you. Why don't you start me on a new month from now and charge me the monthly fee again? And even if you have to charge me the monthly fee twice a month, just do it. But when you're dealing with faceless corporations, they don't get back to you and say, yeah, that's a good idea, that. You've used up your bandwidth and there's still 10 days left in the month. Why don't we just start a new month from here, Baldy, and we'll crack on. So they've been threatening me and I didn't know if I'd be cut off today because today is the 30th and tomorrow is the 31st and I thought they might cut me off. Now, there isn't any problem with payment. Okay, there isn't. It's fine. Everything is fine. The program is doing okay. That doesn't mean you should stop supporting it. It's only doing okay because you support it. So keep supporting it. But it's okay, right? So there isn't, it isn't a money issue. But dealing with these corporations like Shoutcast, it's like, come on, just charge me again. Charge the living bejesus out of me. Just don't be giving me the heebie-jeebies about being cut off. Don't need to be cut off. Anyway, that's not me in a long-winded way bragging about the audience size. The audience size is huge. It's the biggest independent radio show on planet Earth now. We know, you know that, I know that, and it doesn't matter. All that matters is the people who come on and speak to me. But I'll keep you posted about the old streaming anyway. I miss that company because all of the companies, when you deal with the audience size of a programme like this, it's expensive anyway. But they're about the best value, this company in California. So I want to stay with them. Mad you can't get people to bill you. Just bill me. Don't be telling me I've gone over the bandwidth. Charge me. Anyway. Beautiful day in Salford. Mad times, eh? I was reflecting. I finished up the programme last night. And when I finish, I get it on Podomatic, as you know. That's the host for me. And from Podomatic then, once I upload it there, it appears on your podcast provider, whoever that might be. Could be anybody where you get your podcast. Could be Spotify, could be iTunes. Anyway, I do that. Then I reflect on the program. Do I need to follow something up? Do I need to have a look at something I might have said? Blah, 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 blah. And generally then, it's a glass of wine or a beer. Job done. This morning I was a bit fed up while I was in the park. I was thinking about Dr. Tess Laurie, this lady who came on last night, this medical doctor who evaluates medicines and has done that for the World Health Organization, this very, very qualified woman who said that she wouldn't have the vaccine herself, that the reported adverse events are of concern to her. She said this last night clearly. She said lockdowns don't work and do more harm. There's no doubt in my mind that everything she told me was true. She talked about ivermectin and how for respiratory illnesses, that drug could do great things. And I just thought to myself this morning, why was I depressed? Were you feeling sorry for yourself, Baldy? No, I was thinking, this morning the media is full of Lenny Henry and black celebrities telling black people to have the vaccine because it's fine and dandy and it's safe and efficacious. And it's just rubbish. And you have this woman, this qualified woman, this exceptionally intelligent woman has to come on this programme to say that, you know, treatments are being suppressed, number one. And number two, I'm worried about adverse events. I'm not certain that these new vaccines are safe, she said to me. And giving emergency use authorisation for them was a bad thing. She has to come on here to say that while the mainstream media is featuring Lenny Henry. And I know for a fact that I know more about astrophysics than Lenny Henry knows about virology. And I know squat about astrophysics, by the way. I bet that surprises you. 5:09. Now, thanks to a listener who sent me a link this afternoon or to a photograph, a meme of a Freedom of Information request that was sent to Public Health Scotland on February 20th. Now think about where you are now. It's March 30th, okay? So we're talking about, what are we talking about, 6 weeks or thereabouts? So 6 weeks ago, somebody called Mr. Page, that's all it says, on Public Health Scotland's website, Mr. Page, said, sent to Public Health Scotland a Freedom of Information request. Mr. Page wanted to know, could you please provide the total number of deaths for any reason within 28 days of having a COVID vaccine from the start of the vaccination rollout date? Good stuff, Mr. Page. Keep the dates in mind. Sent on February 20th. Tell me how many people died 28 days or within 28 days having had a COVID vaccine. Now, Public Health Scotland replied on the 9th of March and said this. I confirm that Public Health Scotland holds the information you have requested and that this can be provided to you. Using the latest mortality data available up to the 26th of February, 2,207 people have died within 28 days of vaccination. And then in brackets it says number of days between vaccination and death is 0 to 27, where 0 is the day of vaccination. Please note, says Public Health Scotland, that these deaths are due to any cause. Wait for it. Public Health Scotland is not currently aware of any deaths in Scotland that are considered conclusively linked to vaccination. Now, dear listener, this is fairly extraordinary. When you consider that the vaccines began to be rolled out in December, up to February 20th in Scotland alone, Public Health Scotland acknowledges that 2,207 people died within 28 days of vaccination, but says we're not aware that any of these deaths are considered conclusively linked to the vaccination. So am I saying that they are? Well, of course I'm not. But this bears further investigation, doesn't it? This is very, very serious, isn't it? In the extreme, isn't it? And I was able to find out today that Public Health England is being inundated with queries on deaths after vaccination. And Public Health England hasn't answered anybody yet. Same question being asked of Public Health England. Many people died within 28 days of receiving their COVID vaccination. They're not getting an answer, as of yet. These vaccines are harming people. It's not just blood clots. It's not just fever. It's not just a couple of terrible days where you feel feverish and achy and miserable. It's killing some people, even if it's only 20% of the 2,207. That's nearly 500 people. That's nearly 500 people who you might link their death to the vaccine. And like I said, you've got celebrities going on television today who don't know the first thing about medicine, no more than I do. I'm a journalist. I know nothing about this stuff. But I listen to experts. I don't declare those experts to be right or that they're better than other experts. What I say is based on the fact that so many experts are saying these vaccines are dangerous. Well, I wouldn't have one anyway. Lenny Henry, Sandy Newton and others telling black people to have the jab today. It's 13 and a half minutes past five. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take a tune. Lots to talk about, by the way. It's me and you only today. When I come back from the tune, I want to talk about that Great Reset story this morning. 24 world leaders coming together to say that they need a new international treaty to deal with future pandemics. In the wake of the COVID pandemic, there's so much to get into on today's Richie Allen Show. So here's The Clash, kicking off the programme. From a London calling, this is Clampdown, your BBG, live from Salford. Glorious day, so it is. Stay with me for as long as we're on air today. Yeah, The Clash and Clamp Down on the Richie Allen Show, 17 and a half minutes past five, drive time. Let's just move on then, so much to get through. Thanks for your tweets already at BBG Richie on Twitter. Dr. Thomas Binder, Swiss cardiologist, has been banned from Twitter. And I think the businessman Simon Dolan, both of those men have been on this programme in the past on a couple of occasions, several occasions, in fact, I think have been deleted by Twitter. I won't get into too much of that now, but I want to talk about this because it's a huge, huge, huge story. And woke up to this morning. The Telegraph ran this as an exclusive. A number of newspapers around the world were handed an article that was written jointly by the leaders of 24 countries. 24 world leaders, I should say. You're talking European Union as well. So not 24 countries. Excuse me, many more countries than that. And in the letter, they call for an end to nationalism and isolationism after the COVID-19 pandemic. They want a global settlement similar to the one reached at the conclusion of the Second World War to, quote, protect countries, unquote. They want to build better cross-border cooperation. Keep your ears pricked up now. This is very serious because this is where it's all leading, right? So the Telegraph got this today. Le Monde in France got it. Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung in Germany. Spanish newspapers. They all published this article. They want a treaty on pandemics because they say this includes Boris Johnson, Merkel, Emmanuel Macron, right? Mark Rutte, the European Council President. Excuse me. Mark Rutte is the Dutch Prime Minister. Charles Michel is the European Council President. The Presidents of South Korea, Indonesia, Tunisia and Senegal and I think Chile and many more have come together. But just keep in mind Johnson, Merkel, Macron and the European Union to say that mutual accountability and shared responsibility, transparency and cooperation within the international system with its rules and norms should be enshrined in a treaty on how to deal with pandemics in the future. They said that regardless of the origins of COVID, wherever it came from, a future global pandemic was an inevitability. They said it's not a matter of if but when the next health crisis will strike us all. Okay? So they want an agreement on pandemics to enhance this cooperation around alert systems, data sharing and research, as well as local, regional and global production and distribution of vaccines, medicines, diagnostics and personal protective equipment. They said that the treaty would be rooted in the constitution of the World Health Organization. At a time, they said, when COVID-19 has exploited our weaknesses and divisions, we must seize this opportunity. It's an opportunity, COVID, and come together as a global community for peaceful cooperation that extends beyond this crisis. Beyond this crisis. Now, if you follow the Richie Allen radio show since it began this programme in September 2014, but I've been doing these programmes since 2009, 2010, in Spain. That's where I began doing this type of programme. You'll know that I, and I'm not the only one, others too, have featured writers, academics, men and women who warned us that this would happen. And a number of you have cottoned on to this today. How ironic that Boris Johnson would claim to be the architect, not the architect, but to claim to be the man who delivered the United Kingdom from the European Union. And now he's looking to sign the country up to an international treaty whereby the UK wouldn't determine its own policies around health, and not just health either, but anything, any of the spin-off things to do with health, climate change and whatnot. Yes, how ironic. I delivered the UK from the European Union, but now I want to sign us up to an international treaty that will concentrate power in the hands of a tiny, tiny elite. That's what the European Union was always about. Something that I've been speaking about, even going back to my time in commercial radio. I can claim that one. Back in the late 90s, I was bitching about the European Union. Why would you take sovereignty away from yourself? Why would you give your sovereignty to a trading bloc, to a bloc of countries? Why would you give them autonomy? Why would you say, let's have alignment on everything? But that might not suit Ireland. It might not suit Greece. It's mental. I was saying these things way back in the day. That's what these treaties are about. It's much easier for banksters and globalists to control one small group that's determining policy for 24 countries. Much easier to do that than have to go and negotiate with 24 individual countries. You're a corporation that wants to do something. Maybe it's not in the best interests of people. Previously, before European unions and other economic agreements between countries, previous to all of that, the corporations had to get around every individual country's governments. Not anymore. And that's what this is about. Much more convenient for the banksters and the corporations to do businesses with 24 countries who agree to a regulatory alignment. For example, on health. That's what they've been doing for years. The people pushing the agenda. Agenda 21, Agenda 30. Now we know it as the Great Reset. And I talked about Bill Gates in this article today. The vaccination agenda is Bill Gates' agenda, or at least, in my opinion, he's the front man for it. He's driving it. He runs the World Health Organization. He gives it more money than any other country on planet Earth. And his subsidiaries, CEPI and Gavi, and how CEPI and Gavi funds universities all over the world to basically co-opt academics, young men and women starting out in academia as professors of epidemiology, of virology. Gates basically co-opts these people through the funding of those universities and the funding of those researchers' projects and studies. He gives billions to AstraZeneca, GSK and Pfizer. Billions. Stated aim is to vaccinate the world's population against every illness you can name. This is not about coronavirus 19 or anything like it. It's about moving away from treating illnesses when illnesses pop up, right? You feel sick someday, you've been all right for 5 months. Ordinarily, if you feel sick enough, you'll go and see your doctor. Your doctor will look at you and say, yeah, all right, yeah, okay, pop this in your mouth. Yeah, pop your arm up there now and we'll take your blood pressure and so on, and you might get a prescription. They want to move away from that into a new era of prevention. The head of the UK's medicine regulatory body, the MHRA, June Rain, is on the record, and I talked about this. She said it herself recently, testifying before a Commons committee, and I played the audio. We're moving away to prevention. And the new mRNA technology, which is terrifying, Gates is claiming all the time, isn't he? Gates is. Well, this gives us a world of possibilities, because we can prevent using vaccines in the future. We can use vaccines to prevent any illness you can name. And if you don't believe me, you can look it up online. You'll find that vaccines are in development for obesity, for diabetes, for Alzheimer's, for any number of cancers, allergies, for asthma. These bastards are coming up with vaccines for things that nobody needs vaccines for. Imagine what the vaccination schedule will look like for kids in the next 10 to 15 years if they get away with it. And of course, they want these vaccines to be rolled out and approved at the speed of light, just like the dodgy coronavirus vaccines. Speed of light. How do you do that? Well, you get your puppets in government, like Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron and Angela Merkel, to come up with the idea of an international treaty, a pandemic treaty. And that makes it much easier then for you, Bill Gates, and CEPI and Gavi and Imperial College London and Oxford, to put medicines on, in the marketplace that might not be safe, that might not do any good for people at all, and that in fact might do great harm to them. Because you don't have to circumnavigate 24 or 25 or 50 or 60 countries and their health departments. No, no, you don't have to do that. Because they've all agreed, all of them, to be part of a club like the European Union and you've only got to get past one examination. And of course, you probably control that person. Like June Rain, the head of the UK medicine regulator, MHRA, has taken money from Gates in the past. Staggering stuff, this. And problem, reaction, solution. The President of France and the Chancellor of Germany, they get hammered and hammered and hammered by the press, not by the people, but by the press in their countries. For what? For not rolling out vaccines as quickly as Bojo did. Bojo got the vaccines into people's arms quicker. What's going on? Says the press in France and in Germany. Problem, reaction, solution. So now you have a global pandemic treaty. Solves the problem right there. No need for the vaccine to be assessed for safety and efficacy by dozens of countries. No. No, just one inspection. And we'll all sign off on it then. Hip, hip, hooray, it's lovely. And don't doubt for a minute. The pandemic, the international treaty, will bring about alignment on travel and vaccine passports too. They said in their article, this is the world leaders now writing in the Telegraph today, the treaty would also include recognition of a one health approach that connects the health of humans, animals and our planet. Such a treaty should lead to more mutual accountability and shared responsibility, cooperation within the international system and with its rules and norms, as I've already said. So you can amend the international pandemic treaty to include things like climate change, because it will be repeated time and time and time again that climate change itself has a very negative impact on human health. So factor that in as well. Well, then you're into it then, aren't you? Then you can have lockdowns all over the world periodically. We're not doing as well this month in terms of our carbon footprint. We're not at net zero yet, or we were at net zero in March, but in April we weren't. So now in May, we need to lock down just for a few days, just for a week. So this was reported in the UK media this morning, but very blasé, you know, nonchalantly. Yes, the heads of 24 world leaders have come together to say that we need to have an international agreement on health. They're saying it's an international agreement on pandemics. It's bullshit. It's an international agreement on health and healthcare. And it's beyond tyranny. And it's a word that even I cringe when I use it because it's such a cliche now. Right? It's exactly 5:30. Time for another tune. Loads to talk about on Tuesday's Richie Allen Radio Show. With me, the BBG, by the way. Thanks for joining me. This is Gilbert. Gilbert O'Sullivan on the Richie Allen Radio Show. What a scorcher it is in Salford. Scorchio tremendo. It's El Scorchio tremendo. Future Mrs. Allen and Leia, the golden retriever, melting downstairs in the conservatory. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Yeah, it's 27 minutes to 6 o'clock. Everything I said in the last 15 minutes is true. It's not conjecture. Yes, I am a big, ignorant, baldy gammon of a bollocks at the best of times. And I can be a bit shouty and express my opinion. But everything I said to you is a fact. It is a fact. Read it. Read, if you can, in the Telegraph. You probably won't be able to because the Telegraph is behind a paywall. A paywall. But you'll find the article written by the 24 leaders somewhere else in Europe is what you'll find, is where you'll find it. Lovely. Keep the tweets coming in, BBG Richie. Diane says, what happens to people like me who will never play their vaccine game? I got IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, is that right, Diane, after a tetanus shot some years ago. So I myself will not be taking any chances, says Diane. Hi to Angela, who says, I sometimes find it hard to listen. Angela, when you find it hard to listen, switch it off there and then. Don't torture yourself, lass. I don't. When I listen to radio and I get tired of it, I switch it off for a while as well. And I'm not being sarcastic and I'm not having a go at you. These are terrible times. Yes, I find it very hard to listen to it too. But here I am. And I'm taking a holiday the week after next and I can't wait because I've been hammered since Christmas. Came back after the Christmas break. I've had no time off since then. And I'm looking to get away from it too, to be honest with you. Lovely. Right, let's move on. If you're finding it's getting on top of you, extricate yourself from it. Get outside. Get outside. Find a park. Find a tree. Sit underneath it. Read a book. And don't think about it. And I mean that. I've said that 1,000 times. John in Austin in Texas says, if they came up with a vaccine for stupidity, we might stand a chance, says John. Yes. Yes, I could go somewhere there, but I won't. Paul says, Paul Burchill, Richie, good evening. Bill Gates must have a lot of influence to get China, South Korea and Russia to go along with the world plan without any pushback. Yep, it's lockstep, Paul. There's no doubt about that. Chris says they are openly taking the piss, are they not, with this pandemic treaty bollocks? Yes, they are, Chris. I agree with you. Hi to Patricia in Zurich. How you doing, my friend? And to everybody else's tweeting. Charlie Stevenson as well. Let's move on. It's miserable. The west of Ireland, I'm told. We're basking in sunshine here in the northwest of the UK. But my pal, Jean-Anne Crowley, the thespian, the journalist, the genius, says it's chucking it down over their miserable weather in the one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth. Did you come across this in the news this morning? It made me giggle. Although it isn't that funny when you think about it. Parents say they were left completely mortified after a school in Australia told the boys to stand up in assembly, turn around and apologise to the girls for the behaviours of their gender. You can't believe this is true until you find out that indeed it is true. Brower College in Warrnambool. Jeez, I think I might have said that correct. I might have pronounced that correctly. Brower College in Warrnambool in Victoria held the whole school assembly last week. And they said boys were asked to stand as a symbolic gesture of apology for the behaviours of their gender that have hurt or offended girls and women. The school says the move was well intended. But parents, well, parents are properly cheesed off. Oh yeah. One of them spoke to Talk Radio. Her name is Danielle Shepherd. She's the mum of one of the boys at the school. Here she is speaking to Mike Graham on Talk Radio this morning.
My son told me that he was asked to stand up after the entire assembly watched a video on consent, sexual consent and consent within schools. He, not just himself, but all of the boys were asked to stand up in solidarity to apologise on behalf of their gender for anything that had happened to the female gender, which is not right.
No.
Honestly.
No, it really isn't right. And I mean, were they given any warning that this was going to be something they were going to be asked to do?
No. So the students had no idea. As far as I've heard, the teachers had no idea. It was all just thrown together at the last second and everyone was put on the spot.
And they were being asked to apologise for rapes committed by their gender. Was that just in general or was it at the school or was it in your town? I mean, what were they apologising for?
That's the great question, isn't it? The students were unsure what they were apologising for. Mm. It was apparently for sexual abuse or putting not following with consent the students in the school, but it should not be put on to a bunch of 12 to 18 year old boys that have never done anything like that.
Well, we were talking about this earlier on with Julie Hartley Brewer on Breakfast and how, you know, boys are now being kind of put upon by lots of other people in society as if everything is their fault. I mean, I've got 2 teenage sons myself, and I find it quite remarkable that they're being looked at as if they're sort of sexual predators at such a young age.
That's what my son's concern is. He turned around and said to me, and now I'm concerned that people are looking at me as if I'm a predator or going to be a predator as I grow. And now he's worried that people are looking at him like that, and he's not.
Where did the school get the balls to do that? What would you do if you learned that your son was asked to stand up in an assembly and apologise to girls for crimes that may have or may not have been committed to other women elsewhere in Australia? That's insane. That's traumatising kids. That's instilling in boys this idea that they are dirty or that they are wrong by the very fact that they are boys. That sex is dirty. Arousal is dirty. Fancying women is dirty. Where will this end? Madness. I'd pull my son out of there at the speed of light. Then again, if I had a son, he wouldn't be attending school. Full stop. There is Greta news in the news. We never miss an opportunity, do we? Come on.
They sweep their mess under the carpet for our generation to clean up and solve.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of the mass extinction.
How dare you?
Yes!
Greta's back in the news because that dodgy, crazy, silly university of Winchester has unveiled the statue of Greta that has been so controversial. The University of Winchester believes it to be the world's first life-sized sculpture of, in their words, the inspirational Swedish teenager. In an email to students, university bosses acknowledged many saw her as a controversial figure, but they welcomed debate and critical conversations. The university spent £24,000, more or less, £23,760 on the statue. Jesus. And has attracted criticism. The students' union are not happy. The president, Megan Ball, described Greta as a fantastic role model to everyone, as someone who speaks loudly and proudly about important global issues, but that the union couldn't support the statue because of the price of it. Oh, God. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I never thought I'd be a pigeon fancier, but I'm going to buy a flock of pigeons and train them. I don't know how I'll do this. I wish Steve Irwin was still alive. He'd know. I'm going to train the pigeons to dive bomb the bejesus out of the statue and cover it in pigeon shit from morning till evening. I mean, I tell you, a statue for the boss of an organised truancy gang. I mean, who can believe it, right? £23,700 for a Greta statue. Yeah. Bharat Pankania. What a great name. What a great name. He's a communicable disease expert. Bharat Pankania. He's a senior clinical lecturer at Exeter University. And this is just lovely. He warned of the risks of catching coronavirus if individuals go inside other people's homes. Now, he was on Good Morning Britain this morning. And you tell me, dear listener, if I heard this wrong or if I somehow misunderstood Dr. Pankania. But I think he's telling us here not to go making any new friends in the pandemic.
What is important is that people do not extend their circle of friends extensively, because this is a human-to-human spread of infection. And what we need to do is keep your circle of friends small and tight. As long as you're out and about in the countryside, but not interacting with too many other people, you are safe. So the plus is, yes, you may go out. Yes, you need to be careful. Don't interact with too many human beings that don't belong to your own group.
Is there a concern about this sort of being a bit of a slippery slope, in a sense that once people are outside, if they're having a few drinks, if it starts raining, they might go inside or they might be tempted to hug each other? Are you concerned that if more measures are broken, that actually we could be heading for difficulties?
Yes, and your expression, the slippery slope, is very apt, and especially when it is aided by alcohol. Because what happens is when you have a drink and then another one, in the background of a lot of frustration of having been in restrictions, you drop your guard. And when you drop...
you drop your guard. So you're having a drink and then you have another one. PJ, yeah, two more there, two double Bacardis. And while that's going on, you've got all this frustration that you've been knocked down for the best part of the last 12 months. So then you drop your guard and you might make a new friend.
And when you drop your guard and you go indoors with poor ventilation, that's where the dangers are. Especially in indoor places with too many human beings.
Too many human beings.
Poor circulation. You don't have to have people there. The virus can be airborne, and because it's airborne, it's invisible. You don't see it, but it can infect you. So
it's airborne. It's invisible. You don't think it's there, but it's there.
So caution, care is needed. I don't want people to be miserable and not have a good time.
Well, you could have fucking fooled me, doctor.
It's just be aware of what you're doing, and if you see danger coming, step aside.
If you see danger coming. Danger, by the way, manifests itself in another person who might be approaching you.
Take your time. Good times will come. Just take it slow and careful.
The good times will come. Take it slow and careful, says Dr. Bharat Pankania. What a madman. At the time is 14 minutes to 6 o'clock. This is what we're missing, you see. Lenny Henry calls himself a comic. I've vomited funnier things than Lenny Henry has said. And, you know, where are the satirists? Where are the comedians ripping this to pieces, this garbage? They don't exist. They're going along with it. Today's breed of comedians are making ads for banks. Like that Richard dickhead who wears the brown suits. That black dude with the glasses making ads for banks. Comics. Who'd have thought it? Rick Mail must be turning in his grave. Billy Connolly, who God love him, I believe is battling Alzheimer's at the moment. All the best to the big yin. I mean, where are the latter day Billy Connolly's and Rick Mail's to destroy this? Be careful now, but you don't bump into anybody. Ah, shall we have some music? Let's have Kim Carnes. I'm in an 80s frame of mind. But then you might say, when are you not in an 80s frame of mind there, Richie? It's exactly 13 minutes to 6 o'clock. The BBG, Richie Allen, live from Salford with Tuesday's Richie Allen Radio Show. Kim Carnes, love this tune. Takes me back. Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes on the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's 10 to 6. I thought I'd be done by now. I thought I'd run out of material. It's been one of those days. I put 4 articles on the website. A couple of them are, they're not great. Writing is not my thing. The 4 bits on the website. The thing about the Great Reset is very long-winded, but I couldn't make it any shorter than that. But not even the heat. It's just one of those days. It feels like the silly season. And I came on air and I said, you'll be looking now to get to the top of the hour. But then I forgot that I'm an unconscionable windbag. I am a boring bastard sometimes. I can go on and on and on and on and on. Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes. Lots to talk about. Let me read a few tweets. That's a cliche right there. Lots to talk about. Gotta stop saying that. But there is. Gail says, Richie, I think comedians are worried they'll be called an ist or a phobe. So they just do as they are told, says Gail. Gail, I think you're 99% right. 99% right. I don't think they need to be told what to do. They don't need to. They just see what happens to others who dare to express an opinion. And those people get called an ist, like a racist or a phobe, a transphobe or a homophobe. So yes, you're bang on. Gaddafi and co. Just give yourself a first name, some of you dipsticks. It doesn't have to be your real first name. Are you doing it to humiliate me, is it? So we've got to read out these stupid fucking names. Anyway, Gaddafi says, I was in a 2-hour meeting today and we were told for the first time that we have to leave the room every half an hour to let the air circulate a little. Yes. Yeah. Don't open a window. No, that'd be too easy. William says, the only real big celebrity name that I have any respect for now is the great Ian Brown of the Stone Roses. Yes, William, he's been very outspoken, hasn't he? Richard says Steve Hughes and Lee Hurst are being very vocal against the nonsense. Be great to get Steve Hughes on the programme, says Richard. Steve Hughes was interviewed by an Irishman, a young Irishman, a young Irish comedian recently, and that interview is on YouTube. Can't for the life of me remember the name of the Irish comedian. I should do. I must look him up. But I enjoyed the interview. Very good. The Irish comedian did a great job of speaking to Steve Hughes. If you go looking for it on YouTube, you'll find it. Hi to David, who says, can you imagine what Alexei Eagle would say? Cheers, David. Thomas says, what are the bastards hiding? Well, Thomas, I think we know what they're hiding. I think we do anyway. Paul says, did Pant Kania say virus or wire arse? Who says you can't have a good time with a wire arse, says Paul. See what you did there, Paul. Roger says, drinks is the least of it. 12 months of sexual frustration will have to be released, Richie, says Roger. Good man, Roger. Good man. Maybe Roger will be Rogering soon, hopefully. If you're a single person and most of the members of the opposite sex in your village were obeying this garbage, well, it had to be difficult over the last 12 months. I would have guessed, you know. We all need relations, or some of us do anyway. Some of us need relations every now and then. It's 7 minutes to 6 o'clock. Let's move on and talk about Trish Greenhalg. Now, Trish Greenhalg, her name is actually Trisha. Trisha Greenhalg. She's a bit of a mad woman. Picture the crazy cat lady in The Simpsons. Yeah, you've got her, right? She's a professor of primary care at Oxford University, is Trisha. So she's obviously a bright woman, but she's a bit mad. She's obsessed with aerosol transmission. Not the droplets now, but the very, very fine particles that are invisible that are in the air with the nasty COVID. You might remember Trisha. She wants people who jog or run, like myself, to wear a mask. Yeah, here she is back in February on GMB speaking to Piers Morgan, who's no longer there. Here's Trisha back in February, the mad woman, talking about wearing masks when you run.
No doubt the virus is in the air. There is no doubt that you can catch it if you inhale air that someone else has exhaled. And as Piers described beautifully, the exercising jogger, the puffing and panting jogger, you can feel their breath come and you can sometimes actually feel yourself inhale it. So there's no doubt that there is a danger there. I do agree that wet, soggy masks are not a good idea. But for goodness sake, I've been for a run this morning. Not only did I put my T-shirt in the wash, but I put my mask in the wash as well. Mm. So the fact that they get, contaminated is not a reason for not wearing them. It's not that you're going to do anything with that mask apart from wash it. The other thing to say is that 40% of COVID cases happen by catching it from people who have no symptoms. So you're jogging along, you think you're fine.
That's a absolute undiluted bullshit, by the way. She said that 40% who get coronavirus get it from people with no symptoms. And this was never corrected back in February. This is horse manure.
That 40% of
horse manure
COVID cases happen by catching it from people who have no symptoms. So you're jogging along.
Jogging along.
You think you're fine. And then the next day.
You think you're fine because you are fine. You crazy bastard, right? Right.
You develop symptoms of COVID, but you've actually breathed that COVID onto someone. Ah. Perhaps, an old lady walking a dog or something like that.
You're out jogging. There's an old woman minding her own business with her doggy. And you breathed COVID onto her because you're out running. You inconsiderate bastard, how dare you go out in the fresh fucking air and jog without wearing a mask? Mad woman. Anyway, she's back. She's back in the limelight. Today is Trisha. She was on BBC Radio 5 Live this morning on the breakfast programme talking about the aerosols again. She's terrified of the aerosols. But the presenter turned the conversation to COVID etiquette and vaccine spares. Because the presenters, Rick Edwards and Rachel Burden, they claimed this morning that they got one of these phone calls from their local vaccination centre late on Friday evening. Randomly now, the vaccination centre would ring up and say, we have a few spares. Do you fancy coming down for a vaccine? Now, is that the right thing to do? Or are you just a selfish bastard? Well, here's Trisha Greenhalg from Oxford University. First of all, you'll hear Rick Edwards, the presenter. And this is the stuff you think I'm in the Twilight Zone or an episode of Black Mirror.
We've been talking about vaccine spares this morning on the show. Both Rachel and I have been contacted separately by people at vaccine centres saying, listen, we have a few spare doses at the end of the day if you want to come down. And the listeners have been getting in touch and giving their views on that. Where do you stand on it, Trish?
Well, I think the criteria for who goes to the top of the queue and who's at the bottom of the queue for vaccination are generally pretty good. Mm-hmm. That the people who were at highest risk of dying and also frontline health workers and other essential workers were at the top of the list. And that is a very, very good thing. But the practicalities are, for example, some of these vaccines come in packs of, I think it's 10 or 11, and you've got to use all of them because they come out the fridge and then that's it. So if you've vaccinated, say, 9 people and there's one left in the box and it's late on a Friday night, that vaccine is either going to be wasted or you've got to give it to whoever is available. So I think what the vaccine centres are doing, what the GP surgeons are doing, is phoning up people that they know are relatively high on the list, you know, slightly older people, for example, because age is a big risk, and they're saying, can you get here in 5 minutes? I think that's fine, because otherwise the vaccine would be wasted.
What
I'm
about,
not quite sure what the problem is.
Well, what about Trish? Because this was the case, and as I say, I haven't done this. I thought about it.
She's thought about it.
Thought about it. Just kind of hearing that if you turn up and hang out right at the end of the day, then you may well be called in.
They talked about this morning, about if you really feel like you can't wait too much longer for your COVID vaccine, if you are bursting to get it, why not, don't wait for the call late on a Friday evening, why not just loiter around your local vaccination centre? You never know, your luck might be in. Hang around about 5 o'clock, 5:30. And as they're closing up, just say, have you any leftover vaccines? You have. Well, I've got me sleeve already rolled up. I'm ready to go. Vaccinate the bejesus out of me. Yes, this is where we are.
Is that right?
Is it right to loiter outside a vaccination centre?
I don't know, but I do know that wasting vaccines...
Just unforgivable.
We're in the middle of a pandemic.
There's no fucking pandemic. Stop with that. We know there isn't. It's nonsense.
Be right. Mm-hmm. So, yes, of course, people are thinking of ways to play the system. But I'd also say if you are hanging out anywhere outside a vaccine centre or anywhere else, make sure that you're, 2 metres distant.
And
if you can't be 2 metres distant, I'd be wearing your mask.
Wearing a mask. Hallelujah. 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 Wear a mask. Because of those aerosols that are hanging around. It's exactly 6 o'clock, by the way, dear listener. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. How are you? Live from sunny Salford, Scorchio Tremendo. And I've had a tweet there from Elizabeth in Madrid, who's told me something. And I don't know Elizabeth from Adam or from Eve either, for that matter. But she did say to me, just a moment ago, if I can find it. Jesus, where is it now? Elizabeth, how are you? Do send me a link, Elizabeth. Not that I don't believe you, because this is insane. Everything that's happening is mad. But just if you do have a link, dear Elizabeth, send me a link. She says, as of today, updated in Spain, masks must be worn outdoors at all times, including sunbathing on the beach by yourself, even if you are away from people. If you're walking in the mountains with your dog, you must have a mask. In Spain, says Elizabeth, when will the madness end even? The fine is €500. Please, Elizabeth, please tell me that you're pulling me leg. You must be pulling my leg. That can't be right, that. Oh, yeah. Dire Straits, then. Get a ship.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester. Thanks to you, the Richie Allen Show is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Show your support for this unique broadcaster by making a regular financial contribution. Just the price of a cup of coffee each month will make a massive difference. Visit richieallen.co.uk for details.
Welcome back. And Elizabeth in Madrid, I didn't doubt you for a minute. Thank you for the link. And Heather, was it Heather? Because I've lost the tweet, sent me a link too. It is true. The lunatics in Spain have taken over the asylum, and they will be asking people to wear masks on the beaches of Marbella and Torremolinos and Benalmadena as they used to say years ago in Ireland, as they were boarding the planes in Dublin Airport, the Waterford Crystal workers. Where are you going on your holidays? Benalmadena. It's Benalmadena, you stupid. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Masks, masks on the beaches. Couple of stories, good news and bad news. You might be attending a festival this summer, like Reading and Leeds, or maybe the big one in Manchester, where is it again? Which park is it? In Manchester? Jesus, what's wrong with me? Is it the Heath? Heaton Park. There you go. Is it the Heath? Heaton Park. Massive festival. You probably will need to produce a vaccine passport on entry. Probably. Festival boss Melvin Benn has been telling this to the BBC. Difficulty said to predict which safety measures will be required later in the summer, but he said it's almost certain that festival goers, young people, young boys and girls in their wellies, we used to laugh, me and the oft-mentioned Caroline, in our years in Manchester, and we've been in Manchester and Salford now since 2014, this time around. It's funny, at that time of year in July, I think it's July, when that Heaton Park Festival, to see thousands of kids in Manchester getting pissed right up before going to Heaton Park, and in their wellies and in their hot pants. Yeah, it's a sight to behold. So, yeah, they'll have to probably take a COVID test and demonstrate that by way of a QR code, is that what it's called, on a mobile phone. Yes, they will have to either be vaccinated or take a test and prove negative. Yeah, so that's not good. But over in Florida, the governor of Florida, whose name is Ron, in fact, his name is Ron DeSantis, he said yesterday that he would take executive action and ban vaccine passports in Florida. Now, Biden's government, and Biden, that's creepy Joe Biden to you, he's been saying that the federal government doesn't have any plan to mandate vaccine passports. But if the private sector does it, well, what can we do, says the government. I think the UK government will adopt a similar philosophy. Let the private sector run it. But Ron DeSantis said, private sector, private schmector. No chance, says DeSantis. Not coming in here. It's discriminatory and there's all sorts of privacy issues with it, so I'm not going to have it in my state. He said people have certain freedoms and individual liberties to decide whether they get a vaccine or not. And there's no way they should be precluded from having a social life if they didn't have the vaccine. Up Ron DeSantis as a Republican governor. So that's a bit of positive news there for those of you who feel it's all doom and gloom. All right. Why is Boris Johnson so cautious in leaving lockdown? Well, we talked about the Great Reset earlier. Probably explains it. The former leader of the Conservative Party, Ian Duncan Smith, was on talk radio with Julia Hartley Brewer earlier this morning. Here's the exchange. Why is he so cautious? Why doesn't he just open up now, Ian Duncan Smith?
Yes, I'm a bit puzzled, really. I think most of this comes from the scientists and the medics who are constantly, every time they're asked, to say that, well, they're worried there could be a different variant. And then they're asked, well, is there any evidence that the vaccine won't cope with another variant? And the answer is, well, there's no real evidence of that, yeah, but they need to be very cautious. Well, we do need to be cautious, but it depends what nature caution takes. The truth is, we do have to start getting this economy moving again. Because, as you've seen, health treatments, people with cancer, heart disease, etc., this has been a major impact, which doesn't seem to be factored in general terms. And also, importantly, people's well-being and health requires them to be able to meet, to be able to do things together. So I do believe that we won't be moving off this timetable. I would like, for one, obviously, to see it accelerated somewhat. But there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever out there that the vaccines don't work pretty much against all variants. And they've already made plans should there be another variant. We have the best testing system in the world now in the Biological Centre, which is able to pick up what those variants do very quickly. And so that will enable them to be able to do other things with the vaccine. So my point is, We should now be having confidence that in actual fact, we're going to be all right to unlock, get on with our lives, and we should be doing that as quickly as possible.
Are you confident that we will not ever lock down again? Because I'm pretty sure there are going to be demands for people to lock down again next autumn, and I'm not convinced that the government will be able to resist those.
Ian?
Well, I think the lockdown itself has done massive damage as much as protect lives in terms of COVID. So what I'm hoping is when we review all of this, we look to get balance in this, particularly as we've now demonstrated that the capability to produce vaccines is far, far greater than we had anticipated.
Yeah.
We've never produced vaccines at this speed. And this shows you now that we should have less worry or fear that we will be unprotected. And I think we know, everyone says COVID's not going away. Well, COVID's not going away. Spanish flu hasn't gone away. You know, the one that killed so many people in 1918 still comes back every now and then in the winter. But we're now immune to it.
Yeah.
The real key is viruses don't go away. They diminish over time. So we're not saying that we're all fine because the COVID virus is gone. We're saying we're better than we ever would have been because of the vaccines. We should now have some faith in those vaccines.
Yes. Let's not have any faith in the vaccines. The vaccines haven't earned our faith. Mad stuff, eh? Ian Duncan-Smith on Julie Hartley-Brewer. They're very pro-vaccine on Talk Radio, aren't they? They're very pro-vaccine. Brewer was heard on this programme because I swiped it the other day crying about the fact that she still can't go to the boozer or the restaurant even though she's been vaccinated. Everybody should be vaccinated. Well, she's not saying that. To be fair to Brewer, she's not saying that everybody should be vaccinated. She's saying, I've been vaccinated, so why am I prevented from doing things? To hell with the unvaccinated. It's time. It's that time again for a bit of racism talk. I like a bit of racism coverage. I like a bit of it. A bit of racism coverage. A jingle. I was supposed to have a jingle there. The best laid plans of mice and men. I was supposed to have a jingle there, but I don't, so I'll just have to carry on and pretend it didn't happen. Let's talk about racism. Thierry Henry is a fine footballer, and a fine footballer is he. He's also a very engaging and intelligent pundit, is Thierry, in my opinion. He left Twitter and Instagram. Deleted his accounts because of the racism. Got a bit too much for him, and he explained it to Emily Maitlis on BBC's Newsnight last night. And as bright as Thierry Henry is, and I believe he is, he's totally lost his sense of irony. And irony is important. Here he is explaining things. He's talked about the racism. Now he talks about another football player called Wilfried Zaha. Twitter isn't a safe place, says Thierry Henry.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not a safe place. Nobody wants to be there. I'll take the example of Wilfried Zaha. He said that when he goes on his social media, he's scared to look at the comments. You shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be like you feel like you cannot do something.
So Wilfried Zaha, Crystal Palace, great player, scared to go on Twitter because he's scared to look at the comments. And it shouldn't be like that, says Thierry. Shouldn't be like that at all. This is gold.
And when you find out, for example, that the person having a go at him was 12 years old, what are you doing on social media?
Come again?
And when you find out, for example, that the person having a go at him was 12 years old.
No sense of irony. What kind of fuckery are you? Fantastic. Belly laughs when I heard that today. Wilfried Zaha is scared to go on Twitter. He's scared to go on Twitter because he's scared to read the comments because you don't know what's going to be said to you on Twitter. And when you find out that the guy who called you the N-word is 12 years old, no sense of irony. This is a famous story. The little scallywag, the little bollocks, it must be said, who swore at Wilfried Zaha and called him the N-word and other things as well, I think is in Kerry. In Kerry, I think. In Munster, either Kerry or Cork. The little bollocks. Rapscallion. And Thierry wants us all to be scared and wants all the rules and regulations to be changed because it's scary to go on Twitter because you never know what a 12-year-old might call you. It goes on.
Well, how come those platforms cannot know that you're 12? Because it's too easy to open an account. Did I suffer of it? Yes. You know, you have that button that you press report. I know a lot of friends that suffered of it that did, they did press that button report. And sometimes people answer, sometimes people don't answer. Do they do anything about it? They don't. The very least, sometimes they will delete their account. But if you get a new device, you get a new IP, so you can reopen an account. But it's too easy for the people that are trying to harm people to get away with it, to hide behind fake accounts.
Twitter's response is that what they call pseudonymity, i.e., you know, the ability to have an alias, might be used to help people explore their identity or highlight issues faced by victims or vulnerable communities. That's why they say it's important to allow that kind of anonymity. Your response?
No, I just said before, it is a great tool, and they should carry on doing that. Now, when someone is not saying something that they should be saying, it should be a way that you know who that person is. Okay, we will see it as an alias, right, on the platform, but they should know who is behind it. You can't just say we deleted the account when it's something bad, and then someone can reopen an account on another device.
Mm. Rubbish. Just listen to this again because it's amazing. No sense of irony. This is a very bright man now. Very bright, very quick, very clever, good pundit, and was a fantastic player, but doesn't have any sense of irony or perspective.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not a safe place. Nobody wants to be there. I'll take the example of Wilfried Zaha. He said that when he goes on his social media, he's scared to look at the comments. You shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't be like you feel like you cannot do something. And when you find out, for example, that the person having a go at him was 12 years old, what are you doing on social media?
That wins the internet. That's a phrase, isn't it? I see that phrase from time to time. That wins the internet today. I don't know what it means, but I'm going to use it anyway. They're infantilizing a whole generation, aren't they? And they're disempowering children. Not just children of colour, not just black children or Asian children. But every child, totally disempowering them. Jesus wept. He went on to say about reporting. Now, I've never reported anybody on Twitter, even when people using their real names were threatening to kill me 2 years ago. Remember that very serious thing over 3 days? I didn't report anybody. But in the time it takes to report somebody, you can mute somebody. So some guy or some girl who's using some stupid pseudonym and who calls you the N-word or tells you to go back to the jungle or go back to Africa or whatever stupid thing they say, mute them. What are you telling children that this is harmful for? It isn't harmful. You're gaslighting children by telling them it's harmful. How can it be harmful? I was taught from a very young age by my grandfather. It was a lesson that I've held dear to myself for the 46 years I've been on planet Earth. People whom I don't know, whom I don't like, or whom I don't love can say whatever the fuck they want about me, and it's water off a duck's back. That's what you teach children. That's what you teach them. That's what you say to them. He called me fat. Did he? Who is he? Who is he? You don't know, do you? Doesn't matter then, does it? But there's a reason, of course, this is part of an agenda. It's a disempowerment agenda. Transferring, you, giving over your power. Giving over your ability to handle yourself and to deal with the dipsticks and the dickheads and the degenerates that you're inevitably going to encounter in life. Christ, if we'd all kept books about the dipsticks that we had to endure. But we endured them, didn't we? I hate this stuff. I hate powerful, successful people, of, not just people of colour, but white people, telling you to be afraid and that you need to be protected from morons. You can't eliminate morons from your life. If you're going to traverse this experience, you're bound to encounter a complete arsehole every now and then. Brush it off and move on. How could it hurt you being called the N-word? I'm going to say it. I'm sick of saying the N-word. The word is nigger. It's a nasty word. Nobody should use it against somebody. But Christ! Did you see Steven Gerrard, the Rangers manager? the other evening, one of his players was allegedly called a nigger, I believe, by a player from another team. And to listen to the manager in the press conference at the end of the game, you would imagine that the Rangers player, who was allegedly racially abused, was at death's door, that his life was going to end, the carry-on of the manager. He's inconsolable, he said. Inconsolable! What? Because a player on another team said, you're an effing, whatever. Inconsolable, he's devastated in there. Oh, and of course, I know, I will inevitably get the emails, and I don't mind, from black people who listen to this programme. And they'll tell me where I can stick my opinion. Because I don't know, because I'm white. And that might very well be true. And I take that on board. But, and I'll read those emails. And if you want to come on the next phone-in to debate this with me, come on the next phone-in. Don't do it to children. Don't tell them to be scared of arseholes who say things that are not nice. Christ. Wow. Is that what they're doing? Gaslighting them. And giving them this idea that you can go through life and never be confronted by something you find to be odious. But that's bullshit. You can't go through life without encountering odious ideologies, odious people, odious circumstances you might find yourself in. I tell you, you know, you go running to the state for protection. Oh, protect me, protect me, protect me. Why? Because he called me the N-word. Or we'll protect you. We'll take your power away. See what happens when you go to the state and say, I'm broke. I've not got any money. I can't pay my fucking mortgage. Protect me, protect me. The state tells you to go and fuck off. With a capital F and a capital O. Don't give your power to the state, regardless of your background. Wow. Mute them. There's a mute button there. The minute somebody starts off with that crap, mute them. And then you don't have to read their comments again. Henri would probably say, well, I'd be muting them all day. Well, you're reporting them all day, so you know, it's just as easy to mute them as to report them. Listen, if you're black and, you know, or you might be Asian and you think I'm talking through my rectum, I generally am talking through my sphincter. So by all means, come on the programme and talk to me about it. But I don't like it. I wouldn't bring up any child of ours to be sensitive about name calling. I don't care about the historicity of those names. I don't. This is 2021. God damn it. I couldn't believe the Rangers manager. He's inconsolable. Oh, come on, he must have been called that name before now. Which is sad. It's sad that somebody would reduce themselves to that. You know? But anyway, look, there we are. 25 minutes past six. I think I'll take my leave of you momentarily. I've had enough today. I've had a busy old day with the website and with putting this programme together. But I've enjoyed it today, thank you. I think Gerald Celente is with me tomorrow for his monthly visit to the programme. And I'm sure there's another guest booked in as well. I'll be with you on Thursday. I like to give you a good heads up. I think that next Monday week, I'll be having a week off. Yes, I do it every April. I have a week. I need a week. I think you need a week too. I think you and I both need weeks, don't we? Away from one another so that we can come back in totally in love with one another again. And the sounds of our voices. So I'll need a bit of a break, so I'll do that. But in the meantime, it's just that we soldier on. Easter weekend approaching, fast approaching. The weather isn't going to be as good. Hate to burst your bubble. It's been glorious today. Not going to be as nice this coming weekend. Sadly. It's going to be chilly and a bit overcast, but anyway, there you go. I'm on Twitter now looking at some of your comments, and I see that Hyde Park is trending. That can only mean, if Hyde Park is trending, that young revellers are in London and they're yucking it up in Hyde Park, enjoying the sunshine and ignoring the rule of six, and I hope they are. Ignore it. Turn your back on it. Disengage from it. And do that which is natural to you. If enough of us do it eventually, The feckers will never win. That's the positive note I will depart on today, leaving with the Smashing Pumpkins, one of my favourite songs of all time. This is 1979. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon and evening with me today. Look after yourselves and one another. We'll do it all again tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Until then, adieu, au revoir. Good night, Rian. For her live.